got one of those anxiety attacks when I saw it about 8:30 last night. Mike's next week. I text him, are you next week?
Yes.
Okay.
So here we have.
I was thinking about some things. Let's think about holidays, since today is a holiday. And how our holidays are in the world, how the world just waters down our holidays. I was thinking about Christmas that just passed in December. I think about Saint Nick. Saint Nick. So they have these things now that Christmas is, it should be coming up pretty soon. You'll see it in Home Depot in the next couple of months. But it's gifts and this and that. And then it's Saint Nick. They got him as a fat guy in a red suit that slides down chimneys. He passes out gifts to people. He rides on these reindeer. One of them's got a red nose named Rudolph with his nose so bright. And that's how they water down the world does. Guys like Saint Nick. Who's Saint Nick? Well, Saint Nick, I did research on Saint Nick years ago, and here's some new stuff. Saint Nick actually came from a very wealthy family, was what he was. He was born in a Christian family, by the way. His parents died of an epidemic, and he has been known to give all of his inheritance away to the sick and the poor. He was a minister. He also saved women on slavery who were getting ready to be bought out for prostitution. Saint Nick also saved innocent men from false trials that were about to be executed. This is who Saint Nick really was. Saint Nick was a Christian man. But like I said, they water it down. February, we have Saint Valentine's Day. It's all candy and cards now. It's a Hallmark day. Saint Valentine.
And love.
That's right. And love. Saint Valentine was a Christian man as well. He was a priest. And the emperor abandoned marriage, celibacy, like kind of like going on now. It stops. It's population control. These emperors, they don't want people overcoming them because they rise and other people can come against them. You see that with Herod. Oh, where's this king? We want to find him. Same thing happened here. But Saint Valentine married people on the side. He also used to minister to persecuted Christians in prison. But when he got caught marrying people, he was beheaded. They killed him for doing it. He went against orders. That's Saint Valentine. That's the Christian guy that's been watered down with chocolates and hearts, things like that. Next month is Easter, the greatest of them all, Jesus. It's another one watered down, Easter bunnies, Easter eggs, when it's really about the Messiah coming here, dying on the cross for our sins and victoriously raising from the grave, proving that he is the giver of everlasting life for you and me and anybody that believes in him. That's another watered down one. And then there's today, St. Patrick's Day. It's an interesting one. St. Patrick's Day. Now, I wish my dad was here. My dad was an Irish historian, believe it or not. He knew more about Ireland than anybody you could ever dream of. He could tell you about Irish history, how it's been erased from America, which it has been. Just that he knew everything. He went to Ireland and got our family tree, this guy. He knew everything about it. But St. Patrick's Day. That's another one watered down. It's beer drinking, green beer, where you're pooping pickles in the morning. Shamrocks, pots of gold. You know, Lucky Charms, the whole 10 yards. So we see this St. Patrick's Day. Everybody's wearing green. I'm wearing green. And the whole world celebrates this particular holiday, whether you know it or not. And there's a famous saying, there's only two kinds of people today. Irish
and people that wish they were. That's an old saying. But anyway, St. Patrick's Day. We're going to look at this St. Patrick guy, this little Lucky Charms dude. Who was St. Patrick? Well, he wasn't a leprechaun, and he's certainly not a myth or a simple legend. I got a lot of this printed out on the historicity of him. I'll read some. He was a real man who was born in 386 AD in Great Britain. He wasn't Irish, by the way. That's another fairy tale. Along the west coast, which was then part of the Roman Empire, as his father was a deacon, St. Patrick's father was a deacon. They ain't got to tell you that. His grandfather was a priest. Patrick grew up with a rich Christian heritage. Now, on my own studies, I understand, he was either born in Wales or Scotland, they say. Preferably, probably Scotland. He might have been a Scot. Just to give you that. When Patrick was 16 years old, he was kidnapped by Irish pirates who enslaved him aboard the ship of a pagan king and sold him into slavery in Ireland. He then became a sheep herder in Ireland, where his faith in the power of prayer grew tremendously. So he was a sheep herder on this place called Slemish Mountain. Still there, it's a big giant mountain. And on the top of this summit, on a clear day, they say you can see Scotland. This is where he was a sheep herder. The background of this particular place was pagan worship. This Ireland was a very pagan place. It's still known for superstition. My grandma was a little superstitious lady. They were very wicked people. They were very evil people, these warlords and stuff. It says they were demonically possessed. And they were warriors. Some of them were called Vikings. That's where the fighting Irish term comes from. They were very wicked. It was a very wicked place. In this particular place, Mount Slemish, where he was a shepherd, in this cold, dreary place, it says, were skulls and they used to impale people. Well, that is, they put a stake in the ground with a point, and they would take people and pick them up and throw them over the point. You've seen that. And leave them there to die. Then they'd whack their heads and put them on the mountain. So it was an eerie place to St. Patrick was a shepherd. And it says that he grew in his prayer life there. It's even recorded in the confessions that he would pray up to 100 times a day. St. Patrick. Once he got with this spirit in him, he became to seek his upbringing of his father being a deacon, his grandfather a priest, and his religious heritage came back. Patrick's ministry, you know? Patrick's ministry flourished, though it was not without its challenges. He's credited largely with the evangelism of powerful leaders across Ireland, whom were dread a pagan religion that placed a specific emphasis on worship of nature. So they were pantheistic, these crazy warlords and stuff, pantheism, you know, they worship nature, the sea, the environment, it's like we see today, and nothing's new under the sun. And they were violent. The human sacrifices used to take place on this particular place that he shepherded. They were big into human sacrifices. They used to have this ritual they would do around Easter where they would make a straw man and they would have a fire on this particular night before Easter, the night before Easter. Well, they would make children get inside of the straw man and they would light it on fire. And that was one of the rituals they did. It was before Easter on this particular island of this place where he was a shepherd. And it was pretty bad. Part of Patrick's effectiveness was his ability to explain the gospel to people in a way they could understand. For example, he used three-leaf clovers or shamrocks to explain the Trinity of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. He also sometimes credited with driving out all the snakes from Ireland Well, this is probably more symbolic than literal. Snakes represent evil and demonic. And Patrick helped bring light and truth to this nation. As it was said, this people were demonically possessed, it was said to be. And he was a pretty powerful evangelist, it said. He drew out a lot of this evil from this particular area, Ireland. Though there were certainly others who helped bring Christianity to Ireland, St. Patrick, perhaps the most famous of all these missionaries and evangelists, Ireland eventually developed a rich legacy of prayer, missionary work, monastic living, even helped preserve scripture through the Middle Ages. Today, Ireland remains one of the large Christian nations. He also built the first church in Ireland, which is there still today. Not the church he built, but on the same grounds. It's the St. Patrick's Memorial Church. He went on to build over 300 churches in Ireland, St. Patrick. He had baptized and converted over 120,000 people in Ireland, St. Patrick. No wonder he's so watered down in this particular holiday, in this pagan nation. Five biblical lessons from St. Patrick's Day and the light of St. Patrick. The light of St. Patrick may seem remote, even implausible to many of us, but there are many lessons to be learned from his legacy. While St. Patrick certainly wasn't a perfect man, his story can nonetheless show us powerful truths about believing in God and having the courage to follow an unusual path. Five biblical examples of the life of St. Patrick. Number one, we're called to make disciples of all nations, as he did. He saw... Oh, I want to mention, when he went back, he studied for 20 years, becoming a deacon. So he was well-educated in the Word of God. We're called to make disciples of all nations, Matthew 28:18-20. You don't got to turn on reading the passage. Then Jesus came to them and said, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go, make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always, to the very end of the age." So after being kidnapped and enslaved and then returning home, Patrick willingly chose to go back to Ireland with a mission in mind to bring Christianity to a pagan nation. He didn't choose safety or comfort, but chose to suffer hardship, ridicule, and rejection for the sake of Christ. You can bet that pagan chieftains, Druid priests, weren't an easy target for the gospel, but Patrick preserved his mission and reportedly saw the conversion of 120,000 of these scary characters. They were some ruthless dudes, what I was reading. Very graphic. So we're to go and make disciples of all nations, all people, all tongues, not to be prejudiced about. We're called to courage. Joshua 1:9. "Have I not commanded you, be strong and courageous? Do not be afraid, do not be discouraged, for the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go." Patrick surely faced great fear and doubt concerning the task set before him to evangelize a nation of barbarian warriors, hostile warlords. To make it even more challenging, his family didn't support his decision, meaning that he would have to rely solely on God for support and comfort. And if you think about it, that's what God calls us to do. Our family members aren't going to go for it. Even some Christians aren't going to go for the way we go when we become disciples of Christ. The difference between being born again and then becoming a disciple. Jesus said, "Follow me," to his people that were already born again, "and I will make you a fisher of men if you follow me." Well, following Jesus is a little bit different than just believing in him. And it says to set our affections on the things above. We see St. Patrick did that too. Jesus said for us to seek ye first the kingdom of God. Not second, first the kingdom of God. And then all these things will be added unto you. And people will not support us. And you can bet on that. Here's what he wrote in his Confessions. As every day arrives, I expect either sudden death or deception, or being taken back as a slave, or some such other misfortune. But I fear none of these, since I look to the promise of heaven, and have flung myself into the hands of the all-powerful God, who rules as Lord everywhere. Powerful transformation from this guy. Ultimately, trumped for fear Patrick, and he saw fruits of his labor, and we will too. We see fruits of our labor right now. We got three Colombians in the background just by simply going over there consistently. And they're here. And God's got a mission for that guy. Because I told him he's going to start going over there and ministering to these other Spaniards. And we can learn from St. Patrick and his bold approach to reaching it. Number three, the contextualizing the gospel is biblical. Acts 17:23. For as I walked around, this is Paul writing, for as I walked around and looked carefully at your objects of worship, I even found an altar with this inscription to an unknown God. So you are not ignorant of the very thing you worship. You are ignorant of the very thing you worship. And this, what I am going to proclaim to you. So we see in the book of Acts, you guys know this story, it's on Mars Hill. The Apostle Paul spoke to people of Athens in a way they could understand it. He pointed to an unknown God that was effectively part of their pagan worship. And he told them that what they were really longing for was Jesus. Likewise, Patrick shared the gospel with Celts by pointing to objects in their nature, like the shamrock, to explain spiritual principles. The Celts had deep connection with their landscape. Using nature as a reference point was a creative strategy for St. Patrick. He didn't stray from the truth, but referred them to things which they already were familiar with. And I saw that the other night with Gene and Phil and my wife and Dana. They were talking to the Colombians when they were in trouble, and even Grace. And they're experiencing their immigration here. You could see, I saw them. My wife's heart softened. And she must have looked back. I told her, would you look back when you were a kid coming here, huh? She said, I didn't see an answer. I saw her soften. And they, you guys gathered around them and ministered to them. You identified with them the things they could relate to, coming from a different part of the world and being migrants and immigrants yourself. Already been through these things, reached to them to examples of Christ-like behavior. And they're looking at you guys knowing you're not from the same place either. They hear different dialogues, even though they don't speak English. And us too over here, we can identify. People like me, who've been in the drug world and the drug dealing world, I can relate to drug addicts and express my hope they have, and it's in Jesus. And that's the hope they got. They can go anywhere, these Colombians. I've said this before. But they come here, and it's a testimony unto each one of us here that they are here, they don't speak the language, but they can see, they can feel, and they're from Colombia. Do you know how violent Colombia is? They know you're the real deal. You're a testimony. And it's a powerful testimony we have here. And so don't think that our light's not shining in a dark world, if it's darker than you know. You guys are in your comfort zones. Novi, Livonia, Farmington Hills, wherever. This place is corrupted and crazy we live in. And we're an example. Number four, we face persecution increases, and even from those closest to us. I remember my wife, when she first got saved, she had Isaiah 53 on her license plate. She made it up herself. It was Isaiah 53, it said, read it. She started the Shower of Blessing ministry. It was an umbrella ministry. And in that ministry, we're sign makers at the time. We designed a logo, her and I together. It was a cross, and the main part of the cross was a nail. And it went through the Jewish star, was a platform. And it was called Paid in Full Ministries. And it was a powerful logo that came up. And she used to say, on her license plate, Isaiah 53 with our logo, read it. And I remember her mom getting angry years ago about that license plate, trying to scratch it off and stuff. She faced serious persecution. Those of Catholic background, too. Your parents and sisters and brothers look like you're crazy when you become born again. And those are persecutions. We're not going to be thrown in the lion's dens, but we still suffer persecution. Spiritual warfare is a real deal. Trying to serve the Lord, and next thing you know, problems occur. You know, we're not exempt from problems being a Christian. I mean, look at Lynn. She just come out of a cancer problem. That's a nightmare. It's a dark world to go into. But God is good in the face of persecution and criticism and abandonment. Even from those closest to us who don't understand. Luke 14:26. I'm thankful for going to Brethren Church, because I was with family last night, and a couple of my nephews are starting to go to church and stuff. It's the background my father did. He used to bring them here as kids. And even my sister recognizes him. She says, Jerry prayed for the kids and stuff in their background, okay? And I see it in them. But having said that, they're not spiritually and biblically indoctrinated like we are. You can just see they're getting these loosey-gooseys. And I'm not beating on them, but we're blessed. Because we're biblical people, whether you know it or not. Some of you guys are like PhDs compared to the world. Trust me when I tell you. I've been doing this stuff a long time. And I talk to people from all over the planet and all races of people. And even pastors, priests, and deacons, you know, I used to be in the sign business. I dealt with a lot of churches. Most of them, these pastors, didn't know what they were talking about. I would want to talk to them about the Lord. They didn't want nothing to do with it. That's when I knew they were a 501c fake. Strictly doing it for the 501c write-off. If you don't know what a 501c is, that's a tax exemption for churches and religious organizations. Majority of them are doing that. We will face persecution, it says. As mentioned above, Patrick's own family didn't support a decision to return to Ireland. While we definitely want to seek wise counsel in our decisions, making honor to our parents, youngsters, to your parents, you want to honor your parents, to the point that Patrick followed the call of Jesus, even at the expense of angering his family. So listen, even Christian families, when you say, hey, mom, guess what? God, the Lord's called me. I want to go to China and be a missionary. Well, they're not going to like that. I don't care how spiritual they are. They're not going to like it. In the face of that, Patrick did it anyways. He went back to a place he was a slave in. He knew that place was scary. He knew it was against him. He was going to fight demonic people. And Jesus says this. It says, Patrick followed the call of Jesus at the expense of angering his family. It's biblical to expect that we won't always be supported by the ones closer to us. Just check out what Jesus had to say to his disciples on this matter. And he said this to them. You want to follow me, remember one thing. If they hated me, they're going to hate you. No man is greater than his master. So when you really turn up the knob for Jesus and start following him, according to 1 John and other epistles, you're going to feel this persecution, spiritual welfare. And you're going to be hated. Not only by believers, you're going to be hated by mostly unbelievers. Believers will hate you in doctrinal areas. They'll get angry at you when you hit their comfortable zones. But believe me, I know that. Keep that in your prayers. And number five, we're called to great faith. That's what we're called for down here. We only got a little bit of time left. But we're called to great faith. And this St. Patrick had was called to great faith. And without faith, Hebrews 11, it is impossible to please God. So without faith, it is impossible to please God. It requires faith in Jesus for everlasting life to be born again. But it also requires faith to live a life for Jesus. And it's impossible without faith to please Him. And that's the problem with him. I haven't had work in 2 weeks. Steve doesn't have work. When you're self-employed, I got angry at my son the other day, bad, because he doesn't see what I see. He doesn't know what I know. I'm like, listen, Paul, you got a job at the City of Livonia. You better grab a hold of it, because I don't think you got the faith to roll out here, because you get challenged. That's just on the job market, but challenging your health. You know, when you get out of that place and they're like, sorry, you got cancer, you're like, oh, I had that before, emergency surgery, cancer in my neck, second stage melanoma. They sent me to get a brain scan. I had 3 basements dug at the time. Your faith gets challenged fast. I'm looking at the guy, he's talking to me, he's telling me all this, I'm looking around the room like this, going, you're talking to me? Yeah, I'm talking to you, he says. You need to go get this done. So we have to have great faith. Because anyone who comes to him, God, must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who earnestly seek him. The book of Hebrews is a book about eternal rewards. And he will reward us. And what more can I say? I do not have the time to tell you about Gideon, Barak, Samson, about David, about Samuel, and the prophets who through faith conquered kingdoms. See, these guys are examples to these Hebrew believers. He uses these prophets to conquer kingdoms, just like St. Patrick did. He went to a place that was totally pagan, totally dangerous. People didn't want to go there. Notice the story came how he got there. They went into Britain and invaded Britain. It was under Roman law, Roman control at the time. So to come into the great Rome and conquer your people and steal their people for slaves, you're some tough dudes. So you got a big picture of this now. This is Rome was the scariest place in the world. These Ireland people were so warriors, they would come into your towns and villages and kidnap, kill us, like him, and make them slaves. That's still happening today. And so he uses these biblical examples of Gideon, Barak, Samson, David, Samuel, and the prophets who through faith conquered kingdoms. They administrated justice. And I like some of this stuff we say Christians shouldn't speak up in governmental situations, transgenders and stuff like that. They administrated justice. We see Lot. He told them, like, well, what are you guys doing? Here's my daughters, they're virgins, take them. He administrated, and it says in Peter that righteous Lot, we didn't even know he was righteous, did we? We thought he wasn't. Peter says he's righteous. Righteous Lot vexed his soul daily under the waves of Sodom and Gomorrah. They administrated justice and gave, that's what we need. We need justice back. Big time. I was reading this story. I've read it years ago, but I was reading this story, and I thought I was in America. That's how scary it is. The administrative justice had gained what was promised, who shut the mouth of lions, quenched the fury of flames, and escaped the edge of the sword, whose weakness was turned into strength, who became powerful in the battle, and rooted foreign armies. This is what God's prophets and his men did. They rooted foreign armies and conquered kingdoms. Don't think what we got is not powerful. St. Patrick is a prime example. What the Word of God is powerful than any double-edged sword. And when we get back to it, we can be conquerors for the Lord, like this guy was. This place was built on the Bible. I don't care what people say about history. It was built by believers for freedom of religion. And the world will erase things like they did St. Nick, like they did St. Valentine, like they do St. Patrick, and like they did the history of the Irish slavery. Oh, it was ruthless. Irish slavery. My old man would tell you about Irish slavery. That'd blow your mind. You can't even find any history on the Irish slaves who built part of this country. It's pretty crazy. But, they conquered it. Foreign armies. The Bible is full of stories of incredible faith, but there have also been men and women since biblical times who have exhibited great faith in the face of seemingly impossible odds. One of the stories is St. Patrick. And people that we know, and probably somebody like you, are going to be in this story. Patrick demonstrates his great belief in the power of his God. One story that some people believe, Patrick challenging the Druid wizards in 433 AD on the vernal equinox, which occurred on Easter Sunday that year. Patrick challenged the wizards' power of control by starting a bonfire, which was central to the Druids' ritual, on a hillside opposite of the barbaric idol worshippers. Patrick was dragged before the Druid Council, where he had the opportunity to share about Jesus, the light of the world, why some Druids believed, others tried to kill him. The real story of St. Patrick, voice of the martyrs. This is the story I was telling you about what happened before Easter. They used to have this ritual. They'd light these bonfires. It was a scarecrow when people would get in there, children. It was a sacrificial children's sacrifice. All comes back from the veil. Nobody was allowed to light a fire in that town. That was the only fire. That would be the light on the hill. Patrick lit a fire opposite of that. And he was arrested and dragged before the king. This particular article doesn't say that. But what happened was, when he got before the king, he was told, they told the warlords, told what he had done. He had lit the fire to our sacred worship and our sacrificial night. The king was so impressed with St. Patrick's boldness for what he did, because he knew, and everybody knew what would happen, that he said, let the man talk. Told him the story. He gave the gospel to the king. The king was so impressed, he let St. Patrick go on with the Christian ministry, and that's how it became a Christian nation. He had the freedom to do it. Impressive, huh? Very impressive. So that's the story over to you. St. Patrick is often overlooked in church, but he still provides a powerful opportunity to meditate on the life of a believer who was extraordinarily brave and bold. His legacy and impact on the nation of Ireland remains today. It's worth meditating on how his life reflected many biblical principles from which we can still learn. He leaves us with an expert, beautiful prayer. This is a real prayer of St. Patrick. Remember, he prayed 100 times a day. This is one of his prayers. It's a popular prayer. Reminds me of Paul, this prayer. He probably got his hold of a cannon and was reading. Christ, shield me today against wounding. Christ with me. Christ before me. Christ behind me. Christ in me. Christ beneath me. Christ above me. Christ on my right, Christ on my left, Christ when I lie down, Christ when I sit down, Christ in the heart of everyone who thinks of me. That's powerful. Christ in the mouth of everyone that speaks of me. Christ in the eye that everyone that sees me. Christ in the ear that everyone who hears me. Now that's a powerful life of God. It's not I that live, Paul would say, but Christ that liveth in me. Even though the world waters down these great examples like Drunk Fest today, I mean, it's fun to celebrate these holidays, don't get me wrong. But they water them down, and the real meaning behind them is usually biblical examples like this guy. It doesn't mean we have to lose our flavor. We can tell what it really means. We're supposed to be the salt of the world. We're supposed to bring a flavor. We're studying Matthew now, right now. Jesus is talking to his disciples about being the salt of the world. It's an interesting phrase he uses there. It is a season, and it brings flavor out of food. And his example is there that we are to be the salt of the world with a message that is attractive to the world. And it brings the flavor that they want. And then he says to be the light of the world. our lights are so to shine, as this guy just said, let everyone who hears me think of Christ when he hears me or sees me. And we are to be a light in a dark world with boldness in our belief of Jesus. And hopefully today, these little old stories of guys that have been pretty much erased from what they really are helps us as we carry on here at Curtis. We're doing a good work right here, and we can see that by these people sitting in the back row right now who don't speak English, but they're here. And they're here because of you guys, not because of me. We are a body of Christ in a local assembly. We're local missionaries from all various parts of the world, going there to the highways, to all nations, like Patrick did, and preach the gospel. India, Scotland, England, Philippines, Spaniards, Colombians. Come on. We had a German here. They're not all going to agree. But preach the message with flavor, salt, light. The message is not a lot of messages we hear. Remember, just like St. Nicholas has been watered down, just like Valentine's Day has been watered down, just like St. Patrick's Day has been watered down, just like Easter's been watered down, so is the gospel message. It's watered down. The message of that is, he who believes in Jesus for everlasting life, that's his gift, is everlasting life. Has it. The very moment they believe in him for it. And can never be lost. They shall never perish. That is the good news of the gospel message. And that is good tidings. Good tidings means good news. And the good news is that. And let that come out of your mouth. No matter what they say, wait a minute, you gotta have good works. Or we'll see if he's a Christian. Listen to me. Very good. There was a time in my life you would have never known I was a Christian. I was the guy in Peter who forgot he was purged from his sins. I didn't want a ministry of alcoholics and drug addicts, but God planted me in that ministry. And it's a difficult one. So I will leave you with this. When God says he who believes in me has everlasting life, he means it. So most of the people you think aren't born again that you do know, and this was a conversation I had with Gene, probably are born again. They have not repented and came back to Jesus and followed him in a life of sanctification. Remember what he said to those people, be his followers. If you follow me, which means deny yourself, pick up your cross daily, it's a difficult task, I will make you a fisher of men. If you follow. That's what we want to be, fisher of men. Not everybody's a fisher of men. But you can be a prayer warrior. It all started with St. Patrick with his prayers. 100 times a day prayer changes things. So praise God. Hopefully St. Patrick was uplifting to you guys. It was to me as I studied it briefly last night. Just another example of us. He's an example of us here at Curtis Chapel. Steadfast in the Word. Let's pray. Dear God, thank you for this day. We thank you for this place. It's a light in darkness. And we thank you for the salt here. We most of all thank you for the blessing of our sister Lynn, bringing her back, that we can see her face again. And she can see our faces again. That you heard our cry and brought her out of a horrible pit, out of the miry clay. Blessed in Jesus' name. Amen.
Dad?
Yeah?
Stick around for one minute.
672?
We're going to close with our usual 672. But before that,
Sweet.